Hey, Brandon, what are we talking about today?
All right, welcome to another episode of The Sound of Synergy, where we talk about the mental, emotional, and physical aspects of fitness in hopes of accomplishing your fitness endeavors. All right, today we have a special guest. If you follow the Sound of Synergy podcast up to this far, you probably heard this guy early in the early episodes. It's Matt, Mr. V. I have him back on today, and we're going to be talking about his fitness journey, and we want to know how he's been doing, what are some struggles, and just how he feels thus far. Why don't you say what's up to everybody?
Hey, everybody, all you listeners. Is there a name? Do you guys have a name for your listeners?
Man.
The Synergizers? We're the Synergizers.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Okay, we're not the Synergizers.
But, you know, we do need to come up with a term. But
it'll be, once it grows.
Yeah, maybe if you guys are listening, email me, the Sound of Synergy podcast@gmail.com. Let me know what you want to be called.
Green Machines.
The Green Lanterns, no?
I don't know. He's kind of a wimpy guy. Do you like the Green Lantern?
I mean, his powers are kind of cool.
He touches a lantern. That's weird.
Yeah, well, I think it's because we watched Ryan Reynolds, so it's not
that good. Is why. I did not like that movie.
Yeah. But
topic for another day.
Yeah. But we have Matt, also known as Mr. V, to his students. We have him on today. How you been, man, since the last time I seen you?
Been good, you know, following along on the regimen that you put out for me. It's been tough. I've had a lot of successes and a lot of times where I'm like, dude, this is ridiculous. And there was one workout where I remember saying, I'm like, dude, this is ridiculous. I can't, like, I was taxed. My body was taxed after it. And I was just like, that's good. Hated every moment of it. And then afterwards, I'm like, that was good.
We just did Weightless Wednesday workouts. By the way, if you guys don't know what that is, if you have a Facebook, go to the Strength of Synergy page. And every Wednesday, I do a Weightless Wednesday workout for free, where it's either me or like Matt did today, which is a Wednesday. You can follow along at 6:30 p.m. Western time.
Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah, Pacific Standard Time. Or you can do it on your own time and watch that. But Matt said the same thing. I'm tired. I hated every minute of it doing it, but afterwards he feels great. We're doing a podcast, so I wanted to get his thoughts. But
I was gonna say, if we did a podcast before Weightless Wednesday, I probably would have talked mad trash of how, oh, I can do this, no problem. I got you. I don't need no modified version. No, okay, I'm glad we didn't do it beforehand because this is, yeah, I hated every aspect of it. But it was good. Total taxing of my abs and just my arms and chest.
Full body, right?
Yeah, it was nuts. I was breathing heavy. I didn't think my glasses would have as much sweat as they do on them. And yeah, so thanks for that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you feel great. So I'll take that as a win. But anyways, let's go ahead and start off. I mean, if you haven't heard Matt from the first initial podcast that he was on, I think it was like episode 3 or episode 4.
That was back in like September, yeah, man. That was back in the
I can't
day.
Remember. But he's an everyday guy. But let's start off with the people who haven't. Who are you? Just to give a brief description of what you do. And
I am the average guy. I'm 5'0", 100 and nothing. Well, I'm getting close to 200, actually. So more of the heavier average guy. I'm a teacher. That's what I do. Middle school teacher, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And I used to be fit back in the day playing sports, as most
people
were.
Football, basketball.
Yeah,
right.
Track. I did every sport imaginable. And then, of course, when that ends, start packing on weight, start doing a little bit of workout here, doing workout things as Shaunty Insanity, and then, you know, kind of doing whatever, not really having a game plan, just kind of like, so long as I do push-ups and sit-ups, I'm fine, right?
Yeah.
But that's basically me.
Yeah, so yeah, you're a basic, everyday average Joe.
I am the average Joe.
Right. So then let's fast forward a little bit. You know, you're a few months ago, you came to me, you're like, okay, man, I'm eating this. I kind of want to start working out. And what do you got for me? And so I gave you a workout regimen, a 12-week plan. We just finished, we're finishing your first 4 weeks.
And then, yeah, I'm trying to get that last day in.
Yeah, we're trying to get that last day in. But before you went on into starting this program, what were your thoughts about doing an exercise regimen? Well, coming from an everyday average Joe, so to speak, from your words.
I wanted to do it. I really was excited to do it. You know, it turned out to be towards the beginning of January, as everyone's kind of aspects to do fitness, like, a lot. So I was in that game plan of like, yeah, I want to do a lot of fitness and everything like that. So my motivation was high already. But I was noticing things of my everyday life. I said this before. Oh, no, I just said this to you on a just everyday thing. Oh, I said on my podcast. That's what it was. Well, yes. I said I couldn't walk up 100 stairs to my floor.
Yeah, because you live on the fourth floor,
right? Fourth floor, but that's including basement and a mezzanine level.
So six floors.
100 stairs in total. I couldn't lift groceries all the way up without having to take a break. And during recess and lunch, kids like, Mr. V, you want to play basketball with us? And I was like, oh, of course. Trying to school them on the court and stuff. And I realized I can't go up and down the court a bunch of times without saying, I got to go grade some papers and make up some lame excuse to literally go in my room and huff and puff because I needed some air. So I was like, that's what I needed. I needed to come to you to just to be good in life, to be normal, to have my breath.
Right. That makes sense. So a lot of it, your motivation to want to get on a fitness plan wasn't solely based on aesthetic gains. It wasn't solely like, oh, I want a six pack or I want to look fit. It mostly started from,
if that comes, cool.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Like, but if it's a extra thing, that'd be great. Yeah. But it mostly started because you were having trouble going upstairs, playing with the kids. So it's
the
more
normal
of a functional
stuff in life. I wasn't lifting weights upstairs. I was lifting groceries.
Okay.
And I want to be able to make it all the way up to my apartment without having to be out of breath.
Yeah. So you came to me really motivated. This was about 4 to 5 weeks ago. So how's it been being on this plan? How's the motivation?
Dude, I'm totally I can't wait to see, because I feel great right now after just 4 weeks. I can't wait till the end of this bad boy, because I might have that six pack. I don't know. Putting it out there. Who knows?
Man.
Because I'm playing basketball every day now with the kids at lunch. I'm initiating the games. Like, hey, you guys playing? I'm in. Count me in on team. And I'm running up and down. I'm making sure every fast break when I'm on defense, I'm contesting it. I'm not letting any good layups go. I'm running back every single time. No huffing and puffing. I'm going every play, not taking any breaks. And then, of course, I can do the flight, no problem. I can go all the way up, but then I kind of have to catch my breath and take a break once I reach my floor.
Nice.
It's little stuff.
So you're saying that you've seen some improvement. So would you say that your motivation has increased, decreased, stayed the same?
Completely increased, because like I said, I can't wait to see what's next.
Okay.
I know I don't want to plateau. I know that's totally a thing that happens when you work out and you see like, oh, I made some gains. I did what I wanted to do. Then you kind of just flatline to like, that's it. So I don't want that. I want to keep progressing and just getting better and better.
Okay, nice. So the fact that you've kind of almost, you're basically completing the 4 weeks, you're ready to move on to the next 4 weeks or next 8 weeks, and that's what's keeping your motivation.
Oh, heck yeah. If I was able to really discipline myself, which I'm going to try doing now, on the food intake and what I'm eating, oh, man, the six-pack will be here, guaranteed.
Okay, because that brings me up to this next point. So it sounds like the biggest barrier for this first 4 weeks or leading into the next weeks are the diet and dietary things, right?
I'm a teacher, man. I sent you pictures of what's in the teacher's lounge on a daily.
Oh, yeah, the candy and all that stuff.
Donuts, cookies, especially with Valentine's Day that happened and stuff, and Super Bowl, everybody just bringing in snacks and stuff. Nothing but food.
So even with the plan, are you saying that the dietary aspects of a fitness plan are the hardest for you?
That's definitely the hardest part. But I already knew that going into it. I've always had problems of like, I'm a sugar addict. That's my thing. That's
so what makes it hard though? What aspect of the dietary journey, so to speak, makes it hard? Because that's what we're really trying to dive into,
yeah.
Right? Especially in the Strength of Synergy and the Sound of Synergy podcast. We're trying to figure out why things are hard or what makes things easier so we can try to figure that out.
Hey, I've told you. It's definitely, I'm addicted to sugar and I like junk food and I eat it when I feel bad and it makes me happy. I've already figured that
aspect out. Yeah, the psychological aspect of it.
And the worst part is like, I'm like a known junkie where I know what my problem is, but I continue to repeat that problem.
Why do you continue to?
Because it's there. I need to get this stuff out of the house. I need to get this stuff out of my life. Because I need to be just go cold turkey, get it out of my life at first. So then I could be comfortable with all the food around
me. Okay, so that brings me to a good point then. You know, you've already gone through 4 weeks. And maybe, okay, that's fine the first week or second week. There's stuff still in the house or you're being bombarded about it. But how come up to this fourth week, it sounds like you still haven't gotten rid of all of these temptations, so to speak? Why is that?
I buy it sometimes. I mean,
so what makes you buy it? So how can we combat that? Because right, we're all adults.
Okay, straight up, because I want to feel good, and I know if I eat some licorice, I'm gonna feel good.
Okay.
It tastes good. It makes me feel good.
Okay.
I like licorice.
So then, like you said, hey, if I can get it out of my life without the temptation, it might be helpful. So what can you say from your personal experience that can help yourself and also help the listeners here in terms of trying to combat that impulse or combat that instant feeling of gratification when you buy something and then eat it right away versus the I shouldn't say this, but maybe the shame and disappointment that you feel after you eat it.
I feel the shame about, like, you know, 20 minutes after when I realize how much sugar I just inhaled, and I go, that's terrible. That's, nobody should have that much sugar in one sitting, let alone 5 minutes, you know? I need to find a replacement. That's plain and simple. Like any addict, I need to replace the bad stuff with good stuff that I enjoy. So then I go to the good stuff to make me feel good.
Okay, so have you done that in the past 4 weeks on this workout plan?
I will say I did. I tried at first. I was doing a bunch of apples, eating apples all day. I love apples. Apples are amazing. Honeycrisp, best apple can be. Gala apple, not bad. Jazz apple.
So, I mean, that's great. It sounds like, you know, you're trying to replace it with some basically...
good sugar.
Good sugar, good fruit. But, you know, I guess for some listeners, that may not be the whole... it wouldn't cut it at first. But what would you say about eating things that are not as bad for you but can still give you that gratification of candy or sugar? Like, let's say, for instance, Quest bars or their Quest Reese's Pieces that they have.
I do the Clif bars. Same stuff, right?
Okay, I mean, I'm a big Quest fan, so I don't want to make it sound like, oh, they're the same. But in relative terms, yeah, not Quest bars.
I'll put it this way.
Clif bars are pretty good.
Easier way. It's very much easier for me to get my hands on Clif bars. Sell them at Sam's Club.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so like a dollar piece.
That's why. I'm able to get them at Sam's Club.
Yeah, has that helped then?
Yeah, those definitely help when I see them in my lunchbox and I go, okay, if I just have some of this, I'll be good. Right. I've been trying to use Clif bars and... pistachios, just a handful of pistachios.
Oh, pistachios are nice.
I love pistachios.
They're so expensive, but they're nice.
Yes, they are. That and almonds. I just bought like a Sam's Club bag of just almonds that you're supposed to use for cooking, but I just eat them as snacks.
Yeah.
That helps. It definitely helps, but...
So that's good. I mean, you're doing a lot of things, but you bring me up to a good point of being prepared. Because it sounds like every time you have something in your lunch pail or something around you that's relatively healthy. You make a good decision. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like when you don't do that, that's when you can lead to bad choices. So I think it comes down to this guideline of being prepared, would you say?
Oh, it's absolutely. Because if I have it, then I'm good. Like knowing going home, like, oh, I got dinner already. I know what I'm going to have. It's there. I'm good. But if I don't have a clue, I'm like, oh, man. And then the time starts hitting my head. Like, I got to be in bed before a certain time. So I'm like, oh, man, I might as well just drive through, get something.
So what stops you from being prepared 90% of the time then?
Run out of food.
Okay. Like how often do you go to the grocery store?
Once a week. But oh, good. I'm not the type to, like, my wife, Erin, she's the type to, like, buy for 2 to 3 weeks. And be like, no, I'm settled. I have all of this for 2 to 3 weeks. Me, I'm 1 week at a time. I, like, just... fast and loose. I want to buy exactly what I'm going to have and nothing more. I don't want to waste stuff.
I think that's actually a really good concept. I offer this advice that may work for you guys. I think shopping for groceries once a week is actually a really good thing because it's like what Matt said, you get what you need for that week and it keeps you accountable for getting fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, fresh meat.
Like cucumbers, radishes. Yeah.
For the week so it doesn't go bad. And number two, it forces you to get fresh things. The only things that I will say that you should have for long term are non-perishables that you know you're going to use. Like, for instance, cooking oils, certain canned foods. You know, I'm a big fan of canned tuna on days that you don't really...
God. Oh, well, you eat canned tuna?
Yeah. Okay, so canned tuna.
Kids eat that at school. I go, sit away from me, dude. I don't want to.
You know, like
smell
pasta sauce, things like that, things that are non-perishable, or also seasonings. Like, these are the things you should get in bulk for the long term because you're going to use it for majority of the time. But in terms of fresh things like fruit, vegetables, any type of protein, any kind of meat, you should get on a weekly basis. I think it's very good because you can cook things fresh, number one. But number two, you're getting fresh things. And that's the whole point. The more fresh that you eat, usually the healthier it'll be for you versus processed foods.
Just spark what I have been getting into since starting the 4-week plan here. I knew I need to find something to go with whatever I'm having for dinner, right? Whether I'm having this kind of meat or whatever. I've been doing brown rice.
You finally switched to brown rice.
I got brown rice and I'm cooking it nearly nightly.
Okay, so let's talk about that then.
Okay.
I know before you were very simple. It was white rice or tortillas, you know. Why was it hard for you to switch from white rice to brown rice?
Oh, plain and simple. People can claim whatever they want. All your listeners, your synergizers, you could say that brown rice, white rice, doesn't make a difference. You have to put something on it to have a flavor. Lies. White rice tastes amazing. Brown rice tastes like nothing.
It's true. I definitely agree. I mean, this is coming from me, who I love brown rice and quinoa and whole wheat type of things.
Quinoa. I want to get into that.
I think what you're doing right now is actually really good, because
no quinoa.
Well, you should eat quinoa if you want a new grain. But I think for you, it's kind of better to kind of slowly
stick
dive
to brown
into
rice.
Yeah, because it's gonna be completely different. Like the texture of quinoa is a little different.
Does quinoa have a taste, or is it brown rice? Like, it's just nothing.
I mean, to me, most grains are gonna have. To me, they're tasteless, but it's gonna have some type of taste. Okay. You know. But yeah, like I was saying, you know, brown rice is. It's never going to be as good as white rice, but you know, I learned to like it. It's a learned, acquired taste. And I feel like the more often, the more consistent that you eat healthier foods like brown rice or vegetables or fruit, the more taste buds you're going to have for it.
Yeah. I'm starting to look forward to the brown rice. We don't have white rice.
So
in
what
the
changed?
House.
What changed for you to eat brown rice?
Like I said, don't have white rice in the house. If it's not there, I can't go, I'm just going to cook that instead.
I mean, that makes sense. But what made you kind of consciously make the effort, like, I want to eat brown
rice? I know
it's
healthier.
Oh,
plain and simple. I know it's healthier for me. That's why usually stuff that doesn't taste great to me, it's healthy. So I knew, I'm like, all right, if I'm going to do this fitness thing and I'm going to give it a fair share, I got to make some cutbacks. So I looked at what I eat and go, what can I replace? What can I move in different slots pretty much? And I was like, okay, rice, I'll get white out of here. Only going to be brown rice from now on. Anytime I go to Flame Broiler or anything else, brown rice it up. Might not like it, but I know, whatever, it's healthier.
Nice. So you've been through this program for 4 weeks thus far. What kind of advice could you give people that are either about to start on a workout plan or thinking about starting a workout plan in terms of mentally preparing yourself to embark on a fitness plan or fitness journey?
Plain and simple. If you're about to start on it, don't bite off more than you can chew. When you sat down with me and you're like, all right, how many days can you see yourself working out to get this plan done right so I can mold it around you? And I'm like, ah, dude, I work out like 5 days a week, no problem. And you said, think about it. You go to work, you're in traffic, there's different things for your school. And I was like, good point. I can't dedicate 5 days for sure. An hour a day, can't do that. So I was like,
I mean, it
days.
Sounds nice, right?
It sounds, yeah,
but
ideally.
Realistically.
I do, so 3 days. So if you're about to start on it, realistically think about what you can do. Because 3 days, I know I can do. And the best part is, if I can do more, cool. I'm just going to do something in those off days, on the Tuesdays and the Thursday, if I can, you know? But I know I can get 3 days in. Don't, because if I had said five, dude, I would be sitting here going like, eh, you know, I've kind of given up.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing. If I took way too much of a load, it'd be like, nah, I quit.
I think that's very good advice. I think most people who embark on a fitness journey, especially if they're truly motivated in the first initial stages, they want to go 0 to 10.
Oh, yeah. Hey, the first workout, I want to say the first day, I finished. And I was like, that's it? Come on.
What happened, though? Remember, the second workout, he went too hard and he hurt his shoulder because he pushed too hard.
Absolutely.
And so it kind of was a setback.
I was doing way more than I should because I was like, and then I hurt my shoulder. And you said, how did you hurt your shoulder? And I was like, I was doing the workout you said, but, you know, you said do 10 to 12 and just focus on form. I was doing like 20 because I wasn't tired yet. And you're like, well, you're going to overwork your shoulders. And that's exactly what happened. So.
Well, yes. And then it sets you back at least a week.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I got to remember, yeah, you went to school for this. You know exactly what you're doing. If you needed history stuff, I'll tell you history.
Yeah.
If I need fitness stuff, I'm just going to listen to your fitness stuff from now on.
Well, I think that's really great advice. I mean, I still do it to this day. Even when I start something new, my initial instinct, because, you know, I was born competitive. I like athletics. I was an athlete. My first initial instinct is, oh, I can do it. I can figure this out. I want to push 110%. But even though I have those thoughts, I have to dial myself back so I can look at things objectively and be like, look, I need to take it easy and build myself up. I did a podcast with German a few episodes ago about taking one step back to take two steps forward.
Yeah, that was a good episode. I like that one.
And a lot of the stuff that we were talking on that episode is pretty much about being self-aware of where you are and being honest where your progress is, not debilitating yourself, not to be self-deprecating, be like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do this. But to be honest with yourself, being like, this is the stage that I'm at, this is where I need to be, but I'm not going to jump the gun and go 0 to 10 in, you know, 2.5 seconds.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to take a step back. And that's what I've been doing with basically everything. I'm not going without thinking. I'm going to figure out, okay, what will this do? What is my week looking like? That's what I kind of do before I start the workout. I don't just look at that day. I'm going to look at the week and go, okay, what do I have for this week? What are my 3 days looking like? What's going to probably be my hardest day? So I know at work, maybe if I can relax a little bit at work, knowing I'm going to push myself harder on Wednesday, okay, then I'm going to work harder on Wednesday. So.
See, so it takes some planning from your end, right?
Yeah, you can't just go in blind. I mean, you could, and I bet you there are people who will do this. They'll follow your plan, and they'll go in blind and have great results. But that's their personality, and that's good for them. Yeah. Me, I can't do that.
No, definitely. But would you say, because this is a concept that I'm trying to promote and build here at the Strength of Synergy Movement and on the Sound of Synergy podcast, is this whole idea of fitness autonomy. With your program right now that you're doing and what you foresee yourself doing in the 8 weeks, 12 weeks as this program comes to an end, do you see yourself completing, staying with an exercise program, whether it's something that I've given to you or something that you figured out on yourself?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You remember when I said the one thing I don't do when we first sat down, I said, oh, I don't do squats, my man. I just don't do them. I feel problems in my knees sometimes. I don't do them. And you said, well, you're going to do them. And I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know about that. And sure enough, I like doing squats now. I feel the muscles in my legs. I can see muscles in my legs for the first time. And on my off days, I'll throw in some squats with what I'm doing. Do some push-ups, do some squats, do some resistance band, exercise bike. I'm doing stuff that you give me, different workout stuff that you say, do this exercise. I'm doing it on my off days.
Nice. So, see, you are building that autonomy. You are planning out some things. And I think that's maybe what I see sometimes that helps lead people into failure when they embark on a fitness plan is because they solely rely on their coach, their trainer, this exercise plan that they got off a line that it's going to be the – they don't have to do any thinking. They don't have to do any work on their own. And to some degree, yeah, somebody can give you a full program. But I think what people miss is that it does take some degree of responsibility and some self-awareness and some autonomy for you to accomplish those goals. Is that something that you've experienced or not experienced in this program?
No, absolutely. I've done Insanity, and Insanity doesn't give you any of that. Insanity gives you a workout plan, gives you videos to follow, and it's like, here you go. Have fun. Do what you gotta do. I can't call Sean T and go, yo, my shoulder's messed up. What do I do? How can I fix it? And what exercises can I do in the meantime? Can't do that with Sean T. With you, I did that immediately. Yeah. And you're like, hey, FaceTime this. Let's see what your shoulder can do. You show me some stretches and stuff. And it was like, cool. You're giving me the tools necessary, like all around, just everything, which is really cool.
I'm a big proponent of that. Whether you're doing a plan from the Strength of Synergy, or you're doing a plan from somebody else, or you're at the 24-hour fitness, I do invite and I challenge you listeners to take some responsibility, take some accountability for what you're doing. And I promise you, the minute that you take accountability, the minute that you take the time to know what you have to put in, the more successful that you're going to be. And I think Matt's already starting to see that in the first 4 weeks. He's seeing muscles that he's never seen before.
I got leg muscles, yo. That's new. I don't do that stuff.
Yeah. But just to kind of switch gears, what are some things that you didn't foresee that you have seen now after these first 4 weeks?
That I didn't foresee?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It could be nothing, man.
You gotta. What are you trying to look for in this answer? Like,
yeah, actually,
as far as the workouts,
let me be specific. In just general, because you know, some people, it's like, oh, I'm gonna get a workout plan and it's gonna be fine. I'm gonna do this, but there's any unforeseeable bumps in the road.
Nah, all the bumps in the road are on me. It's the food thing. That's on me.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything, you've laid it out. I mean, not trying to toot your horn here, but you told me what to expect. You sat down and you said, here's what it's going to do. And any questions, email me, call me, text me. And I have. And you told me what it was. So there's nothing that like, oh, you didn't tell me about this.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, I would say the unforeseen thing here is doing a weightless workout. You would think it wouldn't be that taxing. You liar. It's terrible.
It's terrible in a good way, guys.
Terrible because now I feel good, but it's terrible going through it. I didn't think it'd be that crazy.
Well, you know, like just before we turn on the mics, I was telling you a little bit about what the body has to do for you to get changes.
Yeah.
And you have to invoke different stimulus and things to make your body adapt. And you can't get at your body can't adapt if it doesn't have changes or things that are a little bit difficult for you to do. Because if everything is the same and if you're doing the same thing over and over again, even though you're putting an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours in the gym, your body's not going to respond to it because it got used to it. Our body is a well-oiled machine, man. Like, once it figures something out, it figures something out.
Yeah, I'm noticing that. That's why the thing you had me do today, Spider-Man, incline Spider-Man push-ups. Yo, those suck, and I'm going to start doing them at home.
Oh, well, there you
just
go,
man. Just because I felt it, like, every muscle, chest, and abs, and even my legs throwing them up there. That wasn't fun, but I'm going to start throwing that in the mix on my off days.
Nice, man. Get Erin to do that with you, dude.
Yeah, we'll see if she will. I don't know. She likes laughing at me. So.
She's eating chips while you're
eating hot Cheetos, and she's like, come on.
Okay, so here's a question that I get a lot of, and I'm going to ask you because you in your program, you're using your body weight, you're using some resistance bands. A lot of people ask me, can you get a good workout without any equipment? I'm going to ask you that question. Your first 4 weeks, can you get a good workout without any equipment?
Well, I have so far. I mean, everything, I told you what I had to start with. I told you I had resistance band. I told you I had some...
like a pair of dumbbells?
Free weights, yeah. And you've given me workouts strictly for those. So, yeah, I'm getting a workout. What's that one where I'm doing a squat and then I come up with the...
Oh, like a push press.
Yeah, dude, that one's terrible because that's arms, shoulders, legs.
Terrible in a good way, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, terrible in a good way. It doesn't feel like that while I'm doing it. After, yeah. But that's one right there. I didn't think when I read it, I was like, I didn't understand it. So I looked it up online before I called you because I don't want to seem too, you know...
Dependent,
yeah. Maybe? Well, okay. Beginner. I want to act like I know some of the stuff.
No, but feel free. You can always ask me.
I know, but I've done too many already. I feel like, you know, you use too many lifelines on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I looked it up and I was like, okay, I can do that. And then, sure enough, first set, no problem. It was the second set. I wrote in my journal. That's when I started to feel it in my legs and my shoulders. And then by the third set, I hated every moment of it. And then when it was done, I was like, that was a good workout. So right there, just a pair of dumbbells.
Yeah,
because you're using your own body weight and dumbbells. So
yeah, so sometimes you only need one or two equipment.
You don't need fancy stuff. I guarantee you could probably give me a good work. We just did one.
Yeah, without any equipment.
I got chairs. I can do that.
But with that said, the more equipment that you have, the other things that you can implement will definitely add to your workout. I'm never gonna say, oh, you don't need any equipment. I think that's foolish to say. To some degree, I think anything that you do with either dumbbells, kettlebells, resistance bands, barbells, whatever you want to use, a freaking tree trunk, whatever equipment that you can use, it's a tool in your toolbox. And every time you use a different tool for a different part of building your body, it will give you a different stimulus and you can always get something out of it.
Sounds good. I might want to buy some random stuff and just have you make a workout out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. Actually, you know what? When we go further down into your program, I'm going to help so you can make your own workout. Because that's ultimately what it comes down to, giving you the tools so you can build your own quote-unquote house, so to speak.
So you're telling me I'm going to be able to fly away on my own?
Well, hopefully.
I'm going to be able to fly, leave
birdie,
this nest.
Fly.
I can, right? Leave this nest? Yeah, all right, that's cool, nest, man.
You know, you got to...
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
See, what 12 weeks? What am I looking at?
We're at the end, towards the end of February, middle end of February.
So
we're looking at like April-ish.
Spring break.
Yeah, spring
break. Abs for spring break?
I mean, that'd be kind of cool. I've never seen you with abs, so.
No one has. No one has in their life.
we'll about to see. Although, obviously, that's not the main goal.
No, the goal.
But it'll be a byproduct if it does come.
If I can beat all the kids up and down the court, that's the real goal.
Yeah.
Because already they're looking at me as like, they thought of me as the old basketball player at first. Like, okay, he can maybe shoot or steal the ball, but he can't really run. Now I'm running with them the entire time. I see them. I see the way they look. And they're like, oh, why is he running and playing defense the whole time? So now the goal is to just keep on playing.
Nice, man. I like the mindset that you have and the goals that you're setting, because it is something that you have seen improvements.
Hey, I'm an average guy. I got average goals.
No, they're not average. I think they're pertinent goals, and they're goals that are specific to you. And I think a lot of people can have those same goals. So I think that's really good. All right, last question. we're going into, like I said, your 8 and 12 weeks. What is something that you know for a fact that you need to work on besides the diet thing?
I was gonna say diet. Okay.
For you to be successful and maintaining sustainability and consistency in working out.
Okay, no days off, no excuses.
What does that mean?
I've had
no days mean 7 days a week, or what do you?
No, jeez, good lord, that'd be insane. No days off, no excuses of, because I pushed a workout before. Like, I was supposed to do it on a Wednesday, but work was too tough. Had problems in the classroom and then large amount of traffic, and I got home and I was just like, you know what? I'll make it on Thursday. Nah, no days off. I'm going to stick to my Monday, Wednesday, Friday plans and keep it.
So is that an emotional thing or psychological thing or physical thing? Or maybe it's a combination of both that makes you kind of push it off to the side.
It's a combo because like if I had a long day at work and stuff and I had to get a bunch of papers graded and I got a lesson plan for the next day and a bunch of kids have been sick.
Yeah, you have things to do.
So there's all of that going on work-wise. And then the traffic, I just hate. So I can never feel good. Until you can come up with a workout in my car that I can do in traffic, I need that. But
glute squeezes, butt squeezes.
Okay, dude, with my
actually,
drive.
You know what? We can work on how you engage your core.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know how to engage their core properly about pushing their abs out while maintaining breathing versus actually crunching in. A lot of people like to crunch in with their abs. And
5 minute fitness, man. Show me how to do that, bad boy.
Man, you know, I haven't done 5 minute fitness in a good minute, but I might bring that back.
Okay, there we go. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, so it's mostly
it's everything. You combine it.
Combination of the being tired, the, you know, you've mentally put in your work at school and you have things to do prep for the next
day. Yeah,
life
got in the way.
Yeah, so you're saying that you want to be able to disregard that and then be able to
do the workout regardless of what happens.
So how are you going to set yourself up for success like that then? To be do the workout when you have to do it.
Got to just probably analyze the things that are definitely setting me back, and maybe having dinner later rather than at a certain time. Because I try to have it at a certain time every day, just because. Okay.
So it's about
a creature of habit.
Yeah, it's trying to make a schedule.
Yeah, if I push it back and start making the later time, the dinner time, then maybe when I get home after a long traffic day, I still have time to get that workout in before dinner. Because usually, if it's long traffic, it's already running into dinner, and then I got to cook dinner and everything like that, and everything's already, like, pushed because schedule's off. So right. If I start sitting back and changing the schedule and making it fit what's going to happen or what could probably happen, then I can get things done.
I think that's a great way to kind of solve the problem, right? Because I think a lot of the times we look at things and it's like, well, man, I have all this things to do, and then we create more problems versus actually looking at the problems that we have and trying to find a solution for it. So for you,
back and analyzing.
Yeah, for you, it's analyzing, setting a set schedule, and then possibly foreseeing what possible problems could arise, so then you can kind of fix it.
Absolutely.
I think that's a good way to go. It's being regimented, but being flexible at the same time.
I'm down.
All right, man. It's great to have you back. Thank you for being on my waitlist Wednesday. Thank you for coming back on this episode to kind of see where you are in your progress. 4 weeks, ending 4 weeks. I need to have you come back when we finish this thing see where your mind's at.
But we got
to
have, all right, all the synergizers out there. Green Machines.
We're coining this.
We're going to get a name. I hear the people on the podcast. I see the other people on the Waitlist Wednesdays. We're a community here, all right? They might not know my face, but we're all doing the same stuff.
Right.
We're in it to win it here. We're listening to you. I'm proposing it out here. Let's all go for a 5K. There's a 5K coming up at Santa Anita Racetrack. We run through the Arboretum and then finish on the track like actual horses do. We run for a Sound of Synergy. And I don't know. Let's put some bets on who can do the best.
Oh, I like that. We'll put a little competitive edge, but then also have some camaraderie at the same time.
Yeah, $5 in, everybody, because that's what motivates me. You put money on something, I'm going to work harder to try to reach that.
Okay, yeah, I like that. Well, it's always good to have external goals. I think that's a good tip. Yeah, we'll try to get that in.
If anybody's down, let's do it. It's beginning of April. I think it's April 8th or 9th, one of those days.
Okay, I'll send out an email to see how many of the quote-unquote synergizers.
Green Machines.
Whoever is a part of the Strength of Synergy squad, see how many people want to come out and do that. But like I said, thank you, man, for being on today's episode.
No problem.
He has his own podcast, which I appear periodically.
Oh, you're one of the main features, man. Get out of here periodically. You're one of the main three. Yeah.
Check us out, Boys Meet Podcast, right? we can find it on, it's on iTunes and
iTunes and Podbean. We talk about every, if you don't know what it is already, it's listen to us on your workouts or whatever you guys are doing. You have time, you're stuck in traffic, listen to us. We talk about TV shows, movies, and kind of just any general topic. We're definitely going to talk about the People versus O.J. Simpson coming
up. Yeah, so check that out.
If you're into that, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good psychological but also like emotional kind of investment thing. But yeah, in general, we talk about 90s TV shows.
Early 2000s. Yeah, early everything. 2000s.
Check that out. Any last words?
I look forward to beating everyone at the 5K. Yeah, I said it. I said it.
He said it. All right. Look forward to seeing you in 8 more weeks. All right, guys. Until next time, find your strength and synergy. Peace.